Moinglin Dŵr is probably the best-known native Welsh leader from the medieval period. He's retained an appeal ever since his lifetime and is considered one of Wales's all-time great historical figures. However, nothing in his early life suggested that he would achieve such a reputation. Evidence from 1386 approximated his age at 27, suggesting 1359 as the probable year of his birth. We know that he was a polyglot, speaking Welsh, French, Latin, and most probably English. We also know that he was educated at the Inns of Court in London shortly before, and perhaps during, the Peasants' Revolt of 1381. While there, he would not just have acquired professional legal skills, he would also have learned how to behave as an English noble. This would have included skill at arms and other military matters. Owain was recorded in poetry as being an accomplished jouster. He would also have become acquainted with the social practices of England's ruling elite. He married Margaret Hanmer shortly before he served garrison duty on the Scottish border in 1384 and played a role, once more recorded in poetry, in Richard II's invasion of Scotland the following year, in which Edinburgh was taken and burned. Owain's prowess in Scotland appears to have brought him to the attention of England's senior military commanders. For, in 1387, he served under the Earl of Arundel, who was, at that time, arguably England's leading general. The muster list for that campaign makes interesting reading. For the campaign to Scotland, Owain's name is well down the list of squires summoned to serve, but his name is the first on Arundel's list for 1387, coming before any English squires, for example. This elevation and placing him in the presence of the Earl strongly suggests that he accomplished noteworthy military deeds in Scotland. In March 1387, he is known to have taken part in the Earl of Arundel's attack on Flanders, known as the Battle of Cadzand. There, the English won a dramatic victory at sea over a combined French and Flemish fleet, and they captured perhaps 50 vessels and much wine. This battle involved ship-to-ship fighting and a brief land campaign where Arundel's troops laid waste to a wide area before returning to their ships. Owain, as one of the leading squires in Arundel's fighting contingents, is likely to have experienced both phases of the battle. Later that year, in December, it's also possible that he served under Henry Bolingbroke at the Battle of Radcot Bridge during the Appellant Crisis. At that battle, Henry, then the Earl of Derby, confronted an army loyal to Richard II led by Robert de Vere. The result was a resounding victory for Bolingbroke's troops and enabled the summoning of the merciless Parliament of 1388. The repercussion of which came a decade later when King Richard regained sufficient power and exiled Henry, an act which ultimately prompted his return, revolution, and seizure of Richard's throne. However, following the eventful year of 1387, Owain appears to slide quietly into retirement while probably still in his late 20s. The three estates he had inherited made him a very wealthy man on a Welsh scale. Surviving poetry portrays Owain in these years as the perfect lord of the manor, welcoming poets to his principal seat at Sychach, having children and indulging in cultural pursuits as well as hunting. In all, the perfect gentleman for his time. His name is also a point of interest. He's universally remembered as Owain Glyndŵr, yet he didn't use that name himself. He was born Owain ap Gruffydd, and, as the second of his line to have that name, he was Owain ap Gruffydd Vychan. He presented himself in his letters as Owain, Lord of Glyndyfrdwy, but not as Owain Glyndŵr. The name Glyndŵr, as one word or two, both are equally as acceptable, comes from the writings of poets from Owain's time and those writing in the decades after his passing, who incorporated him in their poems. The name came into use because Glyndŵr fitted more easily into the poet's rhyming metre than his real name or the name of his principal seat, and so it might be considered a convenient nickname rather than a name dear to Owain himself. Nevertheless, he is Owain Glyndŵr to us today.